Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet. The Mishnah is going to distinguish between Shibuch Harufa and Kol HaRayot, all other Harayot. We know that Shibuch Harufa has distinct laws, distinct dinim, which we've been discussing until this point in time. Now the Gemara is going to contrast that with the other Harayot, which is Ma ben Shivcha the Kol HaRayot. Shelo shevta lehen, lo be'onesh, velo be'korban. They don't have the same punishment, and they don't have the same korban. Shekola rayot v'chatat. We know all the other rayot have a din of karet, and any of the chiyuv karet, when they do it b'shogeg, has a chiyuv chatat. So all other rayot, when you bring a korban b'shogeg, you bring a korban chatat. V'shivcha, we know the punishment is el ha'asham. It's an asham, which is asham shivcha rufa. Kola rayot, when it comes to any of the other rayot, echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha. The man and woman are equal both in punishment, shavin b'makot, ube korban, and they're equal if they're shugigin, that they bring a korban. Uv shivcha, lo ishva lo ish, lisha, b'makot. The man is not equal to the woman with regards to makot, because the woman gets makot. Velo, ishva isha li ish, b'korban. And the woman does not bring a korban like the man brings an el hasham, while the woman gets Makot or Malkot. In addition, Kol HaRayot, any one of the other HaRayot, Asa Behen Et HaMe'areh KeGomer, that simple penetration is enough. You do not need a completion of the Bi'ah. V'chayav, Akol Bi'ah Bi'ah. And you are culpable for every cohabitation. Whereas we know, because we learned in the Mishnah in this Perek, that when it comes to Shivcha Harufa, you bring Korban Achad Al Averot Harveh. You bring one Korban for many violations. In addition, we don't say that me'areh, that penetration is just like gomer biyah, and we'll learn in the Gemara that's because of the term shichvat zera, which is used here by Shivcha Harufa. It says ish ki ishka v'disha shichvat zera, which would mean that it has to be a complete biyah in order for one to be chayav. Echmir b'shivcha, shasta bat amizid ki shogeg. Again, in our parak we learned that the din of Shivcha Harufa is that you bring a korban for mezid, just like you do by shogeg, they're equal. Ezo shivcha. What is a shivcha harufa? So until now, we just assumed, and I've mentioned before, it's a machloket, which is called chetzia shivcha, b'chetzia bat chorin. Anything that is a half shivcha, half bat chorin. For instance, she was owned by two owners, they shared her. One owner freed her, the other owner retained her as a shivcha kena'anit. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'avtei lo nifdoto. Pasuk says, ish ki ishkavet isha shichva zera vehi. What is the status of this woman? Shivcha necherefet the ish. We have to determine what that word necherefet means. V'avtei lo nifdoto. And she's not freed. O chusha lo nitana. Or her freedom was not given to her. V'koritiye lo yumtu ki lo chupasha. They will not die because she was not freed. Again, we'll go back. This tomorrow we'll discuss in more detail. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is the Ishita of Rabbi Akiva. Mishmol Omer, Zohi Shivcha Vadait. She's a full-fledged Shivcha Kina'anit. Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov Omer, you could see on the side that the Gilyon changes it to Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah. Kolar Ayot Mifurashot. We have the Torah enumerates for us, lists for us all the different types of illicit relations. Bishira La'in Lanu, there's only one that's remaining that we haven't discussed. The same as Rabbi Akiva's Shita, but coming at it from a different approach. So now, starting first. Minolon dehi loki, v'hulo loki. How do we know that a man and a woman have different punishments when it comes to a shivcha harufa? The woman gets malkot, the man brings a korban. Now malkot only come about when you do a b'mezid. So if the woman is mezid, she gets malkot. We know that the man brings a korban because we said before that mezid kish shogeg. And it says, Tan Rabbanan, bikoret tiyeh. Elameid shehi loka. Because the pasuk says bikoret tiyeh, it's the end of the pasuk that we read before, which is bikoret tiyeh, lo yumtu ki lo chupasha. So they have to do an investigation. What type of investigation is? Yocho shnehem lukin. I would think both of them should get malkot. Tamalomar tiyeh. In the female form, he loka vehu eno loke. He does not get malkot. Uminayin dahadein bikoret lishna de malkotu. How do you know the word bikoret means malkot? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Tehei bikriya. Bikoret here is not like we thought Livaker, to investigate, but rather kriya, to read. What does it mean to read? Kedetanya, of a brayta with regards to makot. Gadola dayanim makri. The greater of the dayanim, he reads the psukim of the violation. Shini mone. The second one counts the number of makot. Shlishi, the third of the dayanim, says, hiko, hit them. This is the procedures for giving makot. All the dayanim are involved in the process of announcing the violation, counting the number of makot, and then instructing the executioner to hit, so they're all involved. But you see the gadol, the highest ranked dayan on the Beit Din, he's a makri, he reads out the psukim, and so that's the word kriya, bikoret, the Gemara is playing on that. Avashi omer, bibikur tiyeh, that it has to be looked into, because it's not. Enom dimoto, elamakot aroim lishtalish. We have to check out the individual. If a person is going to be punished with makot, investigate the health of the individual and see what they are capable of withstanding. And if they are unable to withstand the 39 lashes, we reduce the punishment in order that they can withstand their, they can handle the punishment without dying. And it has to be a number that's divisible by 3, because they divide up the makot between the front and back. 2/3 on the back, 1/3 on the front. So it has to be a number divisible by 3. But you have to look into the matter. You have to check out how many makot this individual can sustain and then divide it or make sure that it's a number that's divisible by 3. So the bikoret here is an investigation or looking into this matter. So that's how we know bikoret is makot. And then tiyeh means it only refers to her, the woman, not to the man. Tamar Rabbanan. Bizman she'isha loka, ha'ish mevi korban. The two are inextricably connected, which is that only if the woman gets makot does the man bring a korban. Ein isha loka, ein ha'ish mevi korban. The woman does not get makot, then the man does not bring his korban. Minoa. How do we know this? Amaro v'dichtiv v'ish yishgavet isha shichvat zera. So the pasuk that we read before, v'hi shivcha necharefet li'ish. So far, we're talking about all from the man's perspective. Michtei adkan beishka mishto ikro. Pasuk's talking about it from the man's perspective. Nichtov, the pasuk should have just continued ve'dvi et ashamo l'ashem, which is the next pasuk, which is he'll bring his asham, which is the punishment that he gets for being involved with eshiv harufa. Yet in between, they're stuck in the woman's issue. It should have said, then afterwards, the sof lichtov, and afterwards talk about bikoritia, what her punishment is. Amai katov rachmana bereisha bikoritia. Why does the Torah slot in her punishment immediately after the violation? Olusov ktov, and then only afterwards says, v'yet ha-shemol ha-shem. Then talks about his punishment. So the pasuk is addressed to him, then talks about her, and goes back to him afterwards. So why is that inserted? Hachikamar. That's what we learn from it. In bikoret tiyeh, he, then if she will receive the bikoret, meaning makot, ve'vi et ha'shem al ha'shem, then he will have to bring his ha'shem. Ve'em lo tiyeh bikoret, if there will be no makot, lo yavihu et ha'shemo, then he would not be responsible, he would not be culpable for bringing an ha'shem. Kumar says, emahu mi'atatekra, let us say that the pasuk excluded him from makot, because it says bikoret tiyeh. What about her? Aval hi tilki, she'll get makot, and on top of that, v'tete korban. Because it says, she should also bring the korban. Where's the miut that excludes her from the punishment of the asham? It says, v'evi et ashamo l'asham, k'tiv. That's written in the milk form. V'hem et ashamo, asham shelo, bring his asham. There's a miut that it's his asham, not her asham. And therefore, each one of them has their own individual punishment. The woman gets makot, the man brings an asham. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the olam eno chayav ela l'shivcha bi'ula bilvad. One is only chayav on a shivcha that is already bi'ula. Shenemer, how do you know this? V'hi shivcha necherefet li'ish. Because it says, she is a shivcha that is necherefet li'ish. What is necherefet? My mashrim da'ai necherefet lishna dishin nu yehu. And I know that that lashon of necherefet means something, a change in her status. A change in the way that she was created, in that she's no longer the way she was created. She already had relations with an individual. So how do I know that's what necharefet means? Dichtiv. It says, Beshmol Bet, it says, Vetishtach alav harifot. They spread out on them harifot. Now it's interesting, the Gemara is going two proofs. Both of them have a hey and not a chet. But it says harifot. Harifot are the crushed wheat kernels. So he spread out the crushed wheat kernels. V'bay deima, they bring it from the pasuk in Mishle, which is im tichtosh, it's missing the word et, he'evio, b'machtesh, b'toch harifot, ba'eli. And then the pasuk continues, will the fool be crushed? But it means, if you crush the wheat kernels, b'toch harifot, ba'eli. Eli is the board, or the crushing utensil that is used. If you crush the wheat kernels within the Eli, they get split up.
Even if you crush the fool like the wheat kernels, to remove the klipa, to remove the outer shell, no matter how much you try to do this, Ivalto will never leave him. You will not be successful at separating out the chaff from that which is good.
So both of those cases, the word harifot is used to mean someone who has status has changed, been crushed, differentiated from the way they were created. So Gemara uses this word harifot to describe harifa, or in our pasuk, necharefet liish, meaning this woman has already had relations. Now the Gemara makes a drasha. Vayinu yadam lotzi nishehem, vashemim el tzon alashmatam. Very interesting story in Ezra. But when they're up in Eretz Yisrael, Ezra speaks to the people. People have married non-Jewish wives. The Torah calls them nashim nachriot. And then it says that they, vayinu yadam, they took an oath that they would remove these wives, these nashim nachriot, that they would remove them, they would divorce them. And then it says in the pasuk, vashimim el tzon al hashmatam, and they brought a korban hasham for their violation. Amar Rav Chista, melameid shuklan shivchot charufot ba'alu. To teach you that they were all involved in the isur of shivcha charufa, because otherwise, why would you bring an hasham for an illicit relation? Illicit relations don't end up in Hashemot, they end up with Chataot, or they end up with Karet. The fact that they're bringing Hashemot, an indication that they were Boel, Shivchot, Charufot. Ezu, Shivcha, Charufa. Tana Banan. So now we have this Machlok, we're going to have a Braita that's a little more extensive than our Mishnah, which is Vavtet. Says that she was freed. Yochul Kula, she was entirely freed. Tamar Lomar, Lo Niftoto. She was not freed. I would think she's not freed at all. Tamal Omar v'avdei says she is redeemed. Haketzad tuya v'enu b'duya. Avdei lo nivdata, in the real expression, avdei lo nivdata means she wasn't freed. But the Gemara now is breaking it down into two component parts, which is avdei, she was freed, and lo nivdata, she wasn't freed. To teach you, chetzia shivcha v'chetzia bat chorin, that she's half a shivcha kananit, half a bat chorin. Umureset le'evid ivri. And she is engaged to an evid ivri, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now an evid ivri, which is a Jewish slave, is permitted by both a bat chorin, he's allowed to marry a free woman. On the other hand, he's also allowed to be compelled by his adon, by his master, to marry a shivcha kananit. That's one of the obligations of an evid ivri, is to produce children through a shivcha kananit, which will belong to his master. Over here, she's half shivcha kananit, half a bat chorin. So in a sense, the evid ivri is ne'areset. He's engaged to her, engaged in the Torah sense, not in the colloquial sense. The ne'areset to her, he can be fully ne'aras to the bat chorin side. The shivcha kananit side, it's not necessarily tofes. He has an obligation because of his adon to marry her, but he doesn't necessarily be ne'areset. It's not a terminology that's used by shivcha kananit. So that's why this isn't a full-fledged ishet ish. It's not a full-fledged problem of arayot, but rather there's a complication here. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rishmol omer, b'shivcha kananit ha-ketuv medaber u'mereset evid ivri. Talking about a full-fledged shivcha kananit, who is, again, engaged to an evid ivri. In kein matam alomar avdei lo nifdato. Then why did the Torah use avdei lo nifdato? Dibra torak lashon b'nei adam. Again, as I explained before, Vavdei lo nivdata is the normal way the Torah would explain that someone is not free. It's just a more poetic way of saying that they weren't freed. Vavdei, their freedom, lo nivdata, they had not received yet. So now, that's why Rabbi Shmuel says that, not talking about half and half, but rather a full-fledged shivcha kananit that's ne'areset to an evid ivri. Belozer ben Azaria omer, kol arayot mifuroshot lanu. All the other arayot are explicit or explained to us. Umam mishuyar, what is left over? Chetzia shivcha v'chetzia bat chorin umereset evid ivri. Just like in our Mishnah, it's a half shivcha and half bat chorin. And again, in our Mishnah, I read it as Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. You could see on the side that the Gilyon changes it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to match up with our bright over here, as well as that's why we change Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Akiva to match up with the names that are found in the Brayta. Acherim omrim, lo yumtu, ki lo chupasha. So it says in the pasuk they will not die because she was not freed. B'shivcha kananit ha-katuv midaber, sorry about someone who's not freed at all. And Marissa Levi Kanani, she's engaged to an Eved Kanani. So now the Gemara is going to go back over the Brayta. L'Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, Bishloma vafte lo niftoto kiriktani. I understand what he does with Havdeh Nonifata, which is Dibrat Torah Klashom Bnei Adam. Elok Zani Miureset Eved Ivri Minolan. How does he know that she's engaged to an Eved Ivri? Dichtiv, because the next part of the pasuk is Kilo Chupasha, that she was not freed. Michlal, Duhu Chupash, that he is free. The fact that it specifies that she is not free indicates that he is a free man. And an Eved Ivri, in terms of relationship to a Kanani, is considered a free man. Obviously, he's still an Eved to his Adon, but an Eved Ivri is more like a worker, salaried worker, than he is a slave, like a Shifra Kananit. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hainu Rabbi Akiva, Tzvi's question. Isn't Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah exactly Rabbi Akiva? So he says, Rabbi Shmuel Ka'amar. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is like Rabbi Akiva. He's just responding to Rabbi Shmuel. I agree with you in general. That the Torah, when it has extraneous terms in it, we assume that the Torah is poetic, it's just speaking like the colloquial, and we don't darshan anything from it. Over here by Shiv Harufa Shiny. It's different. I disagree in this case. The pasuk says, Kilo Chupasha, Ve'afte, Lo Niftoto, Lomali. And it says twice that she's not free. It says, Vavtei lo nifdata. And then it says, Kilo chupasha, that she wasn't freed. Why do you have to tell me twice that she wasn't freed? It doesn't make so much sense. If you want to tell me it's kashom be'adam, fine. Say, Vavtei lo nifdata. But then again, to have Kilo chupasha, what's the necessity of repeating twice that she's not freed? Therefore, I agree with Rabbi Akiva over here. And I say there is a drasha because there's just too much in the way of extraneous lashon, shmamina, v'hochiata, that's why Havdelon Tvato comes to teach you, chetzia shivcha, v'chetzia bat churin, half shivcha v'half bat churin. Le'achirim, achirim, I talk about the achirim, bishlom av Havdelon Yivdata kasavar dibra torak lashon b'nei adam. I understand Havdelon Yivdata is like Rabbi Shmuel, they're darshaning that dibra torak lashon b'nei adam, therefore it's a full-fledged shivcha kananit. Ha, David kanani minalon. How do you know we're talking about an Eved kanani? Amar kra, kilo chupasha. She was not freed. Imenu inyan the dido. That wasn't necessary for her. We already know she's not freed because it says vavdei lo nifdoto. Tenu inyan the dide. It must be speaking about his side. Since it's unnecessary for her side, it must be speaking about his side. That means that he's not free. If he isn't free, that makes him an Eved Kanani. So that's how they know that we're talking about here an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananit. They have whatever form of marriage they can attain, they are married. Well, that simply means that they're cohabitating. It doesn't necessarily mean, I don't know if there's a halachic marital status that they go through a kiddushin. Yeah, but it might be enough that they are, like for instance, a non-Jewish marriage. Non-Jewish marriage, there's no halachic binding agreement that makes them man and wife. It's because they live together that makes them into husband and wife, that makes them into an eshadish. You know, presents the issue in terms of, can you create kiddushin in that manner? Can you create kiddushin without real kiddushin? Which has major nafkaminot, that's the machlok between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Henkin, with regards to, this is what Jews, I'm saying, but can you create kiddushin without kiddushin, basically? Which is the question at hand there. Can you have it, do you need a get in those types of marriages where there was never a kiddushin up front? And that's their machloket with regards to get. And I'm assuming that over here we're also, there's a creation of some sort of, or form of binding marriage, maybe not necessarily through halachic means, but because of the fact that they're living together. Okay, next Mishnah, which continues to discuss the differences between Arayot and Shifkarufa. Kol Arayot, Echad Gadol, Ve'echad Katan, Katan Patur. If you're involved with the Gadol and Katan, the Katan is Patur. Echad Er, Ve'echad Yashin, one of them is awake, one of them is asleep, Yashin Patur. The one who's sleeping is Patur. Echad Shogeg Ve'echad Mezid, one of them was Shogeg, one's Mezid, Shogeg Ve'echatat, U'mezid Be'ikaret. The one who's in violation b'shogeg brings a chatat. The one who's in violation b'mezid brings is culpable for karet. Now the Gemara is going to ask the question, the assumption of the Mishnah is that these are all not true by a Shivcha Charufa. So now, V'ocha Chiev Katan. So you're implying here that only by regular Arayot is a Katan Patur, but by a Shivcha Charufa the Katan is Chayav? Amri Yehuda Achaktani, this is what it means. Kol Arayot, Echad Gadol, Ve'echad Katan, Katan Patur, Ve'gadol Chayav. The focus is not on the Katan Patur, but rather on the Gadol Chayav. If you have some sort of mismatch which involves a minor and someone who is above the age, the one who is above the age will be culpable, the minor will not be culpable. Ve'ocha by Shivcha Charufa, Gadol Nami Patur. The Gadol is also Patur in this case, my time. Because there's a hekesh between the punishment of the man and the woman. And only when they're both culpable is there a punishment for either one. We saw that before, that connection between them. Therefore, if you have a katan who's patur, a minor who makes it patur, that makes the other individual patur as well. Kol arayot, all the other arayot, echad nayor v'echad yashin, when the one who's awake, and then the one who is sleeping, yashin patur. V'kan, yashin chayav. Again, over here, you're going to say that the yashin is chayav. I'm reviewed, I'm rav, ochiktane. This is what it means. Kol arayot, echad nayor v'echad yashin, yashin patur v'nayor chayav. It's not the yashin that we're focused on, but rather the one who's awake, who is chayav. The participant who is awake will be culpable. V'kan, afidu nayor patur. Over here, the one who's awake is even patur, my taima. Same reason as we gave before, the makshiana dodi. Connection between the two of them. Only when both of them are chayavim do we say that either one gets their punishment. If you have one that's patur because they're sleeping, then the one who's awake is also patur. Tani tanek emei de Rav Sheshet. There's a braita that was brought before Rav Sheshet. It's a cryptic braita, difficult to understand. And eventually we'll get to an explanation of it. Asu gomer kime are. They made the completion of bi'ah like the start of a bi'ah. Mitkavein, kishena mitkavein. They made someone who has intent, like someone who does not have intent. Kikradka, someone has bi'ah in the normal fashion. Kishalotarkar, like someone has bi'ah, not in the normal fashion. Neor, kiyashen. And they made someone who is awake, like someone who is asleep. Amalei, my kamat. What is this right to say? Ibishivka charufa, if you're talking about a shivka charufa, k'toni, amayasu gomer, kimi aret. Why did they make someone who completes a bi'ah, like someone who starts a bi'ah? We know already that when it comes to a Shivcha Charufa, they are not chayavin al mi'areh. Doesn't work that way. So how can you make gomer kimi'areh? Gomer b'Shivcha Charufa mi'chayev. If you have a completion of bi'ah, you're chayev. Mi'areh lo mi'chayev. On the other hand, if there's only penetration, not a completion of the bi'ah, you're not chayav, because it says shichvat zera, that it's ki'ish ki'ish gavet isha shichvat zera, and therefore only a gemar bi'ah is chayav. So how could you compare the two? How can you say that gomer is ki mi'areh? Gomer is chayav, mi'areh is patur. That doesn't make any sense.
V'tu, mitkavein, kishenu mitkavein. Imikavno, if you have intent for the bi'ah, mi'chayvo. Ilo, if there is no kavana, lo mi'chayvo. You're not chayav, because then it's not called a bi'ah ru'yav lizriyah. Without any kavan over here. So how could you compare the two and say, oh, we learn out mitkavein from shenu mitkavein. They have different dinim.
Kidarka, kishalo kidarka, nami. How do you explain that? Kidarka b'shiv charufa. If you have normal relations when it comes to shiv charufa, mechayev. You're going to be chayev, because it says shichvat zera. Shalo kidarka, lo mechayev, because again it says shichvat zera, which means the normal course of cohabitation. Do it shalo kidarka, lo mechayev b'shiv charufa. So my time, what's the reason for all these? Shechvat Zera Ktib. By all these it says, Shechvat Zera. Now he continues to question, my Neor Ki Yashen. They say, Neor Ki Yashen, again, by Shiv Charufa, we know that a Yashen is Patur. And what does that have to do with the Neor? Who's Rayav, like the other Rayot. So now we're going to say, if Bishara Rayot Katani, if you're saying that we're talking about other Rayot, it can't be Shiv Charufa, Asu Gomer Kimi Areh. Why do they make the completion of bi'ah like penetration? Ipcha ibayile. It should have been just the opposite of the mitne. It should have been that mi'areh has a din like gomer bi'ah. Gomer bi'ah is the more obvious. Gmirat bi'ah yer chayav. So we say that there's a ribui in the pasuk that mi'areh is also chayav. That penetration is enough to make you chayav, not just gmar bi'ah. Okay, but you have it backwards. The bright has it just the opposite. It says it's learning out gmar bi'ah from mi'areh. Doesn't make any sense. Samalei Yisme. So after Rav Sheshet posed all these questions to the one who brought the Braita, he responds and he says, to Rav Sheshet, should I take this out? I mean, is this a problematic Braita? This is not a Braita that should be kept. Samalei Lo. Now you don't have to erase it. V'hochik Tani. Let me explain it to you. Asu gomer, shelo kedarka b'shivcha charufa, delo mechayve, kime'areh, kedarka. So when it comes to, this is all about a shivcha charufa, but it's matching up different situations, which is Gomer Bia, but Gomer Bia, Shaloka Darka, not in the normal manner that he had Bia with her. B'shivcha Charufa, Dolo Mechayve, over there you're not Chayav. Kime'areh Kedarka, is the same as simply having penetration in the normal manner of cohabitation. Why? D'shivcha Zeraktiv. Both of those are Pturim, because there is a requirement, Ish Kishka Visha Shichvat Zera. So it has to be a total and complete Bia, Kedarka, in the normal manner. So if you're missing either one of those, you're patur. If you're missing kedarka, you're patur. If you're missing a complete biyah, you're also patur. So that's the comparison over here. Then, mit kavein shalo kedarka. If he intentionally has biyah with her, but shalo kedarka, b'shivcha dipturim, there you're patur. Ke'enu mit kavein, someone who is not mit kavein. The shichvat zera aktiv. Again, shalo kedarka doesn't matter because of shichvat zera. And enu mitkavein is not chayav.
Because then it's not called a bi'aruya lizriya.
Why? Why are you patur by shivcha harufa? Because shivcha zeraktiv. Neor shalo kedarka. If he's awake and he has relations with her, shalo kedarka, not in the normal manner. Bishivcha and shivcha harufa de pturim ki ashein. Just like sleeping by other arayot or even by shivcha harufa, my time again to shivcha zeraktiv. Again, the shivat zera is modifying the shalo kedarka aspect of it. Nimtza mitkavein v'ame'are b'shivcha. So we find, in its totality, we find that intent and me'are, just penetration by shivcha, is equivalent to ein mitkavein b'chol arayot. It's equivalent to not having intention by all other arayot. Yashen kedarka ke'yashen d'arayot. Sleeping in the normal manner is like sleeping by all the other arayot. Nimtza neyor shalo kedarka b'shivcha. That if one is awake, shalo kedarka by a shivcha, is the equivalent of yashin sleeping b'chol harayot, by all the other arayot. That's the this cryptic bright of Rav Sheshet way of explaining it, is to break the pieces down and to explain them as different situations. Not to say that they're all speaking about the same situation, but rather, it's talking about shivcha in different situations, and by doing that, he deals with the mismatch, which seems to be the mismatch within the Braita. And the comparison of Shivcha Harufa, where she's, where the Shivcha Harufa, the case where you're patur, against situations either by Shivcha Harufa or by Arayot, that you'd be patur, and in comparing them, it's just showing to us the limudim of Shivcha Harufa, that basically Shichvat Zera, which means that Shloka Darka is patur, that Heara is patur, and Mitkavein by Shaloka Darka is also not going to do anything for you because it's Shaloka Darka, and these are all derived from Shichvat Zera. Okay, with that we end the perek. And now, I'm going to bring the next perek, dealing with the Asham Talui. Amru lo, they said to him, Achal to Chelev, you ate Chelev, maybe Chatat. He brings a Chatat for it. Eid Omer Achal, one Eid says he ate Chelev, Veid Omer, lo Achal. Another Eid says he didn't eat. Isha Omeret Achal, Visha Omeret lo Achal. One woman says he ate chilev, one woman says he did not eat chilev. Mevi asham talui. Does not bring a chatat, but rather an asham talui, because he's uncertain as to whether he had a violation here, because we have a stira between the edim. Eda achad omer achal. One eid says he ate it, v'omer lo achalt, and he disagrees, and he says, I did not eat chilev. Patur. Over there he is patur, because the one eid does not have the power to compel him to bring a chatat. And the fact that he's denying it, we can't force him to bring a chatat against his will, or even Hashem Talui. Shnayim Omrim, if you have two Eidim who say Achal Chelev, meaning that you have full-fledged testimony, V'humer lo achalti, and he denies it. Rabbi Meir Michayev, Rabbi Meir says you're Chayav, and explains his reasoning. Rabbi Meir, imeviyo shnayim lidei mitach hamura, two Eidim, which is full-fledged testimony, can put him to death. Lo yiveyo lidei karban akal, can't they compel him to bring at least bring a korban? Amr lo. Mayim tzer lomar. He could just say, mezid ha'iti umpatur. He has a claim that'll get him out of it. He could agree with the Edim's testimony and still not have to bring a korban. He could say, I did it intentionally. If he did it intentionally, we have no korban will be brought now, because you only bring a korban when you're a shogeg. So the fact that now he says, I didn't need it, he should be believed, because he could have not been soter, the edut, not have gone against or contradicted the testimony, and just said, I agree, yeah, I ate it, but I ate it, but Mezid and still be put to from a korban. So how can you compel him to bring a korban when he has a way out? He may have chosen one way to speak, but he has another way out as well. And therefore we shouldn't have to compel him to bring a korban.
What if harder to make himself look bad?
I think the Gemara wants a way that he can not contradict the testimony, that's all. Even, I don't know if he would have made that claim, but the fact is that he could. Since he has that out, we're not going to compel him to bring a korban in this case. Achal chelev, v'chelev behelem achat. He ate chelev, multiple pieces of chelev, but only one forgetting. Enu chayav ela achat. He only brings one korban to be mechaper on all of those violations. Achal chelev v'dam u'pigo v'notar behelem achat. In one forgetting, he has multiple violations, not of chelev, but of different items. He ate chelev, he ate dam, he ate pigul, he ate notar. Chayav, akol achat ve'achat. He's chayav on each one, he has to bring a separate korban chatat. Zech omer b'mini marbe b'mini achat. That's the stringency that comes up when you have multiple violations of different isurim versus multiple violations of the same isur. Chomer b'mini achat b'mini marbe, the other way around. What's the stringency with a multiple violations within a single isur? Mimini marbe, shim, achal kechatzi zayit, v'chazar v'achal kechatzi chazayit, v'eats half a gazayit worth, and then a half gazayit worth afterwards, echar, v'helam echat, in one forgetting, mimini echat, if they're from one isur, chayav, they'll be mitzdarif. Mishnei minim, he'll be patur, because they can't be mitzdarif. Mishnah is showing you that when you're within one context of one isur, there's a chumrah, which is that you can be mitzdarif, all of those eatings. The kula is you only bring one chatat for all the violations. On the other side, b'mini marbe, when one forgetting your multiple violations of different isurim, over here, the chumer is you have to bring a chatat for each of them. Kula is that they can't be mitzdarif. If you have a chatzik zayit of each one of them, they're not mitzdarif because they're different isurim. Okay, now the Gemara Ketani. Amru lo, achal to chelev, mevi chatat. So if they say to him, you ate chelev, he brings a chatat. Amru, kama haven. How many spoke here? What was the zeidut? Train. There were two. Vahu ma'amar lohum. What was his response? If he was silent and he does not contradict them, elo shtika the train who the mevi chatat al shtika the achad lo. Wait a minute, I don't understand. You need two edim to obligate him to bring a chatat when he's silent. We know that shtika keoda silence is an admission. So over here, if you have two edim testifying that he ate chelev. And he doesn't deny it. He stands there silent. Of course he has to bring it. But why would it only be by two edim? Maybe right in Eidechad also. Eidechad can come and say, you ate chelev. He stands there silent. Shtika go die. He should have to bring a korban chatat. Say, mitziyata. How does that reconcile with the latter half Mishnah? Latter half Mishnah, Eidechad omer achal. V'omer lo achalti. One aid says he ate. V'omer lo achalti. And he denies it. Taimo de machishle. That from that part of the Mishnah, you would say only because he contradicted the single aid. Aval shotik, had he been silent, michayev, he would have been chayev. The kol shekein trei, and certainly too. Ela de kemachashi luhu. That he is contradicting the edim. You have two edim testifying that he ate chilev, and he denies it. So mani, Rabbi Meir. So that's Rabbi Meir, damar, hachoshah, debrei trei, lav hachoshi. When you contradict two edim, that's not considered to be a contradiction. Two edim have the power to override your denial. Aval de rabbanon patur. But according to Rabbani Bibatur, umay kamashmalan. What are you teaching us? Mishseifa shmadmina. We know that from the Seifa. Rabbi Meir is explicit later on in the Mishnah that that's the case. When you have two edim against his denial, he brings a korban chatat. So what's the chiddush that you're teaching that in the first case of the Mishnah, or you're going to explicitly say it later on in the Mishnah? Kamash l'man, davazeh machloket Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. That this is a machloket between Rabbi Meir Rabbanan, v'hu, digmekachashi luhu. That's only if he is in contradiction to them. But if he doesn't contradict them, then the Rabbanan would agree in that case. Igad Amri, some want to suggest, Amri lo nami chad korile. And it says, Amru lo, it doesn't mean literally that they said to him, meaning to Edim, but rather, Amar lo, that 1 8 said it over here. Tetran. Because we have other instances like this. Aisha shalach bala l'midinat ayam, woman whose husband went overseas. Uvov amru la meit baleich. And they come back and testify that her husband had passed away. V'niseit. And she got married. V'achakach ba bala. And then her husband shows up. Teitze mizeh mizeh. She has to divorce both the new husband and the original husband. Tekaimalon. And we over there stav shafilu bechad. That the marriage was done even with 1 8 on the testimony of 1 8. So you see over there, amrula. Amrula in the plural form, yet we're talking about a single aid. So it's over here. When you say amrula, it could be talking about a single aid. Mimai. How do you know that's true? Miktani seifa. Because in the seifa of that mission it says, nisei shelo bershut. She got married without permission. Muteret lakzorlo. Then she can go back to the original husband. My shelo birshut. What does that mean? She did it without permission. Shelo birshut beit din, without the approval of beis din. Michlal, you want to infer from that, the reisha birshut beit din ubeid achad. That means that the first half of the Mishnah is talking about a case where she had permission from beit din. It was based on an eid achad. Almo gabi eid achad tani amru. Again, that the plural form is used by eid achad. Hachanami diktani amru lo mashma afilu eid achad. So that's the case here is also this Amru, even though it's written in the plural, is referencing an Erechad. V'hu Maikamar. What is he saying over here? Ilaymo de Kachamachishle. If he is denying it, he's contradicting them. Mi Maiti. Why would he bring? Bagutani Mitzioto. We have that case in the next part of the Mishnah. Erechad Amar Achal. V'omer lo Achalti. One aide says he ate, and he denies it. Patur. Elo Deshoti. He is silent. Mi Mitzioto Shmamino. We could have learned that out of the next case in the Mishnah as well. Erechad Omer. He did eat. He denies it. So there he is. Patur. Time of the Kol Machashle. It's clear there from the Mishnah. It's only because he contradicted. He denied it. Oh, Shatak. Mishtak. Chayav. Had he done nothing, had he been silent, he would have been Chayav. When it says, Lolam Dolo Machashle. He's not contradicting him. He's not denying it. Vachitani. This is what it means. Amrulo achalta chiliv mevi chatat. He said to him, you ate chilev, brings a chatat. Bamed, v'amomrim deshati. When is that true? When he was silent. Ava machish le patur. If he contradicts it, he is patur. And so they connecting the first case with the next case in the Mishnah, saying that the first case in the Mishnah is telling you this instance when he is silent. The next case in the Mishnah is telling you the case where he is in denial. Midoraita milalon delo machish le chayav. From the Torah, how do you know that someone who does not deny it, mean that is should take that he is chayav? When he finds out about his chait, v'lo shiudiu acherim, not others telling him that he sinned. Yocho afilu en machishan, maybe even he doesn't deny what they're saying. Doesn't matter how he finds out, as long as he found out in the end. If he's found out in the end, that's whether he found out by himself. Or he was aided by Edim who told him that he did the violation and he doesn't deny it. That's also him finding out.
If you have two Edim and he doesn't deny it, you need a pasuk? That's regular Edut Batorah.
It must be done at one aid.
Then when he doesn't deny it and when he doesn't contradict that aid, he's believed, or that aid is believed in order to be Mechayevim a Chadat. Okay, we'll stop over here.